Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. Seems like it's been a while since I have been in front of you. Always appreciate these brothers on staff who are helping me do the ministry and the word. And thank you for praying for them as well as for me. We're going to be looking this morning. And I know that I've already talked to Ben working the crowd, you know, and so I've already know that there are some of you that are here simply because of the title of the message. You're just like intrigued about repentance, hogs, dogs, and the real thing. So we're going to get into that. Take God's word, if you will. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 8 this morning. We're talking about what the Bible says about that, and specifically what the Bible says this morning about repentance. We just need to understand God's emphasis on repentance, and that we understand what it is, so that we know whether or not that is a part of our lives. And certainly as we're talking to people about the Lord, we want to be sure, we must, if we're going to be biblical, repentance has to be part of what we talk to them about as well. Before I read the text, let me just say thank you for your prayers for me in going through these last 39 treatments, radiation treatments. I have two more days, two more treatments, and so Monday and Tuesday, and then I'm done. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, thank you. So anyway, thank you for your prayers, praying for a good response from the test that'll come about a month from now. Just so you'll know what's going on, that's the latest. And that's all I have to share with you at this time. But thank you so much for your prayers. Catherine, I know you've been praying. It's evident in my life, and so I'm very grateful for that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 8. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, so this is what John preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he explained that. He says in verse 8, therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. So this passage will help us explain our position as believers, as Baptists. A lot of times people say, well, if I believe, you know, what you Baptists believe, then, you know, I just believe and go and live any way that I want to. How many of you ever heard that? Ever heard that? You know, right. Because you don't believe in falling from grace, and so you just got a free ride, and you go and live any way you want to, and you go to heaven anyway. Not what the Bible says, is it? Not at all. In fact, what John preached is very clarifying on that. We do believe, of course, in grace apart from works, but there has to be evidence of the grace of God at work in my life. That's biblical. Now, we're in this new series, what does the Bible say about that? Specifically, we're talking about what does the Bible say about the fundamentals of our faith, those things that are non-debatable. So we're in volume one, if you remember that. We're going to have different volumes. We're not just going to be, you know, we're going to be going for weeks and weeks and weeks and months doing this. So we're in volume one. What does the Bible teach about salvation? Okay? What does it teach about salvation? And this morning, here's what God is saying. The Bible is saying that we ought to ask ourselves, have I repented biblically? Have I repented? Is there evidence of biblical repentance in me? In other words, according to Scripture. Or does my life reflect what Peter talks about? Does my life reflect that of a hog or a dog? And so we're going to explain that. We're going to get in it as we look in Scripture. Now, this is very important. Let me tell you why. Because at different times, of course, you're taking vacations and you're going out and you're going here and you're going there. And you're going to find yourself sitting under a man who's going to be teaching the Word. Or you may be sitting under a woman who's teaching. And you'll hear somebody say, well, now, in order to be saved, what you need to do, all you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is God's Son. Believe He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose again Easter morning, and that He's coming again, and you'll be saved. All you got to do is believe. Now, that ought to be sending off some bells inside of you, because Scripture says, if we've been reading God's Word, James chapter 2, verse 19 is very clear. And James says, even the demons in hell believe that. So we want to do better than the devils, don't we? Better than the demons. And so what God is simply saying is, if I really believe, it's going to show up in my life. I've got to do better than the demons of hell. Now, no message that fails to press for repentance, ladies and gentlemen, can be called a gospel message. It's not biblical. It's not a message that John the Baptist or our Lord or Simon Peter would have preached. Now, I want you to understand this. Those of you who may be guests this morning, those of you my brothers and sisters in the Lord, let me just state a biblical truth. This is in your Life Point outline. If you haven't already, it's inside your Sunday bulletin. Pull that out so we can look at that. Here's that first truth. Repentance is not something that I do just so I can get myself saved. Biblical repentance is something that the Holy Spirit produces in me. Now watch this. And it changes the direction of my life forever. It changes the what of my life? The direction. Biblical repentance changes the direction of my life forever. I'm never the same. That's why we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, that God may grant them repentance. Now listen to me. The reason I said it's not something that we do, biblical repentance is not something I can pull off. I can't pull that off. I cannot pull off biblical repentance, and neither can you. And so here's the next truth. Repentance is a gift of God. Repentance in a man or woman's life is a sure sign of genuine biblical salvation. And the absence of a changed life, the absence of repentance, in other words, declares a false profession. That ought to answer a lot of questions about whether or not somebody that you know is born again, when you have that question. Repentance isn't me turning over a new leaf. It's not like, you know, January the 1st, where I'm going to make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to break by February 3rd, right? So that's not biblical New Testament repentance. It's not like something that I do momentarily. You see, there are people all the time, and this has been going on for decades, centuries. People make a profession of faith. They walk an aisle somewhere. They get baptized. And then they attend worship maybe a couple of weeks or whatever. Some will be baptized and they won't even be back at worship, not because they had something to come up. They just didn't come. So they're not back to put be under the Word. They're not producing this changed life. And before you know it, they're back into their old ways. And it's not just a trip up every now and then. It is a pattern in their life. And that's the reason why my title is what it is, because God speaks this. Now, just listen to what the Father says. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. So 2 Peter 2:22. That'll be easy enough to remember, all right? And so here's what God is saying. He describes the false professors, those who have false repentance. Peter says they are dogs. They are like a dog that returns to its vomit. Is that not descriptive? Have you ever seen a dog do that? They'll do it. Barf, walk off, and come back to the barf. And are they going to look at it? No, they're going to what? They're going to eat it. Is that not gross? Horrible. What does that mean? He came back to what he spit up. And then he says, then there are the hogs who is washed And as soon as you let that sow go, she goes right back to the hog pen and does what? Rolls in the mud. You just cleaned her up. She's perfumed. And the first thing she does, right back to the mud. Why does the dog go back to its vomit? Because it's a dog. Why does a hog go back to the wallowing in the mire? Because it's a hog. It's what hogs do. And the point God is making is, if I have not changed you, you will, the moment you leave the house of God, go back to what is normal for you. Does that make sense? And so instead of making excuses for people, we need to be encouraging them to examine themselves. Because when Christ comes into my life, there is a change. That's why Acts 11 verse 18 says, God has granted repentance to the Gentiles. Let me tell you what God is saying. The Bible is very clear. You can tell if you're born again or not. How do you do that? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. It is not hard to detect if I am born again. It will show up in my life. All you've got to do if you want to know if somebody's really born again is wait. Just wait. Why? Because they're going to produce fruit. A tree is going to produce its fruit, right? It's not going to produce another kind of fruit. It's going to produce what's in it. And what God is simply saying is, if I haven't changed, what's going to keep coming out of me is what I am. Does that make sense? That's what God is saying. And so stop all this lying about Baptists. Well, if I believe what you Baptists believe, I'd go and live any way you want to. No, you wouldn't. Where did that come from? It came from some Baptists who never were born again. That's what it came from. So what are you looking for if you want to know that you're real? You're looking for a turning from sin. Are they turning from sin or are they continue to grow in sin? Is your daughter or your son hungry for the things of the Lord or are they hungry for the world? They yearn for the things of the world. Is their mind fixed on heaven or is it fixed on earth? This is what they want to be a part of. I got 2 points this morning. They are doozies. Number one. The call for repentance in the Bible. Now, what I want to do is I just want to give you the texts. You go back and look at them, but I'm going to read them right quick. I just want to give you the places that it talks about repentance in Scripture, okay? So you can look at it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And from that time, in other words, from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus began to preach. Now, what did Jesus preach? What was the focal point of his sermons? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Matthew said, whenever we heard Jesus preach, this was his theme. This is what Jesus, if you went to hear Jesus preach, you would hear a sermon on what? One more time. If you went to hear Jesus preach, you would hear a sermon on what? Repentance. That Jesus preached on it so much, it's like that was his theme. Repentance. Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. What does that mean? He's saying, I desire a heart attitude, not an external religious activity. He said, I'm wanting something from the heart. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He said, I came to call and to speak to those who are happy in their sin and who love it and who want to stay in it. I came to call them and also came to speak to those who are miserable and are wondering, how can I change my life because my life is a mess? Jesus said, I came for them. And the message is the same. What? Repent. Repent. Mark 1:14. After John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. What is the gospel? We've been talking about that. What is the gospel? Now listen, saying, this is what Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, the gospel of God is at hand. Now listen, repent and believe the gospel. Now what is the gospel? We talked about that 3 weeks ago. You can go back and get that message. It's been recorded and you can pick that up. We find the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. And Peter or Paul says, I pass on to you as most important what I received. Okay, what did he receive? That. Here we go. Number one, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's the first thing of the gospel message. Christ has died for the sins of my soul. And that he was buried. Christ was buried in the ground. Why? Because he was dead. He died. And that he was raised on the third day. He was raised Easter Sunday morning according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and the 12 and more than 500 brethren at one time. You see, that's the gospel. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. He died for me. He didn't just die for the world. He died for me. And I believe Christ paid for my sin by dying. And he was buried. He was cold stone dead. It put in the ground for 3 days, Friday night or Friday afternoon before the sun went down. So that would be part of the day as a whole day in Jewish literature. And then all day Saturday and then rose on Sunday morning. 3 days in the heart of the earth. And then he ascended. He came back to life and he's gone back to the Father and he's coming again. I believe that. Why do I believe that? Because the Spirit of God has worked it inside of me. God the Holy Spirit has worked in me. That's why you believe it. You believe it because what the Spirit has done in you. Mark 2, verse 17. And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Well, what did Jesus come to call sinners to do? Repent from their sin and turn toward God. That was his message. Mark 6, verse 12. Jesus was sending out the 12 into the villages and the towns. And he says, as they go, he said, as they went out, and that they should preach that men should what? Repent. He said, you preach, repent. Luke 5, 31. Jesus answered and said to them, to the scribes and the Pharisees, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but worse culprits than all, I'm sorry, but sinners. And to what did Jesus call sinners to do? To repentance. That's what he called them to. Now, let me just do this right now. The thing that I see that the Lord did again and again, Jesus preached for us to turn. That if I'm born again, there's going to be the evidence of repentance in my life and in yours. That's going to be an ongoing part of my life. That is one of the signs that I'm truly born again. But here's his message to the world. And what the Lord did, he not only preached a warning that we need to repent, but he preached a danger. And that danger was that there was the danger of a sudden death. The danger of sudden, unexpected, didn't see it coming, death. And this is from the Lord. This is from the God of heaven and earth. And you find this, let me just read it, but it's in Luke 13, verse 1. On the same occasion, there were some present who reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Now listen to what he said. I tell you no, but unless you repent, unless you change your ways, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, that they were worse culprits than all the other men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, what does that mean? What is the Lord saying? Well, Jewish theology of the day in which our Lord was here on the earth was a lot like a common theology that you would hear maybe today when you're talking to somebody. And that was, if you're good, good things will come to you. If you're bad, bad things will come to you. Right? That was Jewish theology. And so the Jews were asking, so here these guys were, and they were in the temple worshiping God, and Pilate's men came in and just sliced and diced them, and their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. They were seeking God, and they were killed. And then there was those other people, the 18, that were just walking along the road, minding their own business, maybe going to do something good. And there was some work going on, and the workers had built scaffolding. And all of a sudden, the scaffolding and all the stonework just collapsed and crushed them to death. And so their question was, and this was something that would have been, you know, in the newspaper if they'd had one of that day. Everybody in Jerusalem knew about it. This is stuff that had happened. And so this thing was, Lord, are these guys, did they get it because they were bad? Is that why this happened to them? So Jesus is going to answer them, but it's not going to be what they expect to hear. And look at the truth in your outline. It is the work of gospel preaching to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. That's what gospel preaching does. So what Jesus said was, you think those Galileans must have been greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they died such a horrible death. And you're thinking those 18 Jews on whom the stone and the scaffolding fell and crushed them to death, that they died that way because they were guilty of some sin that we didn't even know about. Now listen, our theology is much the same today. I don't know how often I am asked, Brother John, I just can't believe this has happened. I can't believe this happened to so-and-so. I can't believe this happened to them over here. Why can we not believe it? We are stunned because somebody that we know that maybe lives a good life and seeks to do the right thing, all of a sudden you find out they've got terminal cancer. And that rocks our world, doesn't it? Why? Because they're good. They're good people. And they've got terminal cancer. And maybe they've got kids at home. Or maybe they've got a wife that needs them. Or you hear somebody that seeks to follow after the Lord and they're in a horrible, God-awful wreck. And it's fatal. And a young wife is taken out into eternity. Or a young husband is all of a sudden gone. And we wonder about that. We wonder about stuff like that. How do you kind of get that in your mind? And so that's what the Lord is talking about. That's what he's saying to us. And he's making it a teaching point. And he says, do you understand that above, up and above all of that, there is one thing that is more important than that? What is that? It is repentance. He said, the important thing is repentance. Why? Because you and I live in a dangerous world. We live in a world where bad things happen to good people. And people get flung out into eternity all of a sudden. And so what's the message of calamity? Ladies and gentlemen, today, I read it in the paper even this morning. We've got young men and women overseas in war zones who love Christ. And they're being blown up and killed just like young men and women in our army who hate Jesus and have nothing to do with him. We've got Muslims who are radicalized and they're being blown up and they want to kill Americans. And at the same time, we've got Americans that are being killed who are wanting to evangelize the Muslims. And they're dying just like them. Biblically, what God is saying is you and I aren't living because we deserve to live. I'm not alive today because I deserve to be alive. I am alive today because of the mercy of God in heaven. I am alive. I have escaped because of the mercy of God. And the scripture says it is the patience and forbearance of God that should lead us to repentance. God has been good, even though a lot of mess has happened in our life. Amen? God is good. We all deserve to die. But instead, God lets us live, and he lets us really live. Right. We really live. We live, we love, we laugh, we enjoy all the blessings of life in all of its richness. You know what that is? Beloved, that is the patience of God. That is the kindness of God. That is the compassion of God with the intent that it leads me to repentance. And the goodness of the Father causes me day in and day out to fall down on my knees and say, Father, thank you for your goodness to me. And oh God, forgive me for every time that I have been disobedient to you. The goodness of God leads me to repentance. That's what drew me to the cross, was the goodness of the Father. And every now and then, God uses these God-awful events in the life around us to remind me and you that death is around the corner and you and I don't know when, and we need to be ready. Huh? I'm not better than other people because I've made it to 69. I know that's a surprise to some of you. Thought, he's that old? I didn't realize that. Man, he looks good. Thank you. I am not better than other people because I've lived to this age. I live by the mercy of the Father. People ask me, how do you feel about the fact that you've got cancer? I've lived to now by the mercy of God. It's not like I didn't really know that I could die of disease, right? So when it comes, does that mean God hates me? No, it means I've got a broken body and I'm subject to disease. But what I'm glad for is that I found him. And God has led me to repentance. And it's not a one-time thing. I repent regularly. Because Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will perish. And he's talking about eternal judgment. Just because I'm alive today or you are alive today doesn't mean you have escaped judgment. Why? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, what? The judgment. Judgment comes. And so true calamity is that we die and we experience the judgment of God because we're not ready. We haven't repented. So look at the next truth in your outline. Heaven hasn't rejoiced over anything in your life or mine but repentance. Why? Because Jesus said in Luke 15, I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who what? Repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. So has God ever rejoiced because of you? That's what you need to ask. Repentance is the essence of the gospel invitation. Listen to Jesus' last words, Luke 24:46. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Now listen, no salvation is possible till God's Christ, God in the flesh, dies for the sin of you and me. There had to be a sacrifice. But listen, that alone does not bring salvation, right? Because God goes on to say something else. He says, people have to hear. They must be told. That's why we promote missions throughout the year. That's why we do the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for World Missions. That's why we promote that, because people have to hear the gospel. They have to hear. And he says that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for, or so there can be, forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. So people have got to hear, hey, God says you need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done, for my sin, and I want to ask your forgiveness. So here's the truth. We are called as we go out into the world to preach two things: faith toward Jesus Christ and repentance, or sorrow over how we've lived and turn from a life of sinning. That's what the gospel is. That's what it means. And the insight, your outline, repentance is a synonym for saving faith. How do you know that you're saved? The evidence of repentance. That's how you know. That's how you know if someone is born again. In other words, there's only one sure, verifiable sign that my boys, my grandkids, my wife, anybody that I care and love about, there's only one sure, true, verifiable sign that salvation has come to them. How do I know they're born again? How do you know your son is saved? How do you know your daughter's born again? How do you know you're living with a true believer? How do you know that? God says it's not hard. They exhibit an awareness of personal sin, that it is an affront to a holy God, and it has produced a lifestyle change in their life. Jesus said, repent. John the Baptist said, repent. Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Listen, Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, about coming again. As some people counsel us, where's the Lord? He's been saying he's going to come back for 2,000 years and he hadn't come yet. Ha! He'll never come back again. God said, wait a minute. You don't understand. I haven't come because of love. Why? He said, I haven't come. Don't count that as slowness. I am patient toward you, not wanting any to perish in hell, but for all to come to what? Repentance. Repentance. Here's what that means. Jesus hasn't returned for one reason. To give those whom God has known from the foundation of the world that they were going to be part of his forever family, for them to be saved. He has been waiting for people in your family, people that you know, to come to faith in Christ. God may be waiting for you to be saved. And that's why he hasn't come. Because when he comes, it's done. It's done. When somebody walks an aisle and they say they want Jesus, but they go right back into their sinful ways, there is no lifestyle change, there is no love for the worship of the Lord. Now listen, I'm not talking about all of a sudden they start acting, you know, like somebody who's been walking with the Lord for decades. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, every baby that is healthy, when it is born, what is one of the first things that baby wants? Mother's what? Oh, come on. Every baby, when it is born, one of the first things it wants is its mother's what?
Milk.
Thank you. Every baby wants milk. If I am born again, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. But what I want in my life is I want to know about God. I want to know that. Why? Because I'm different. I'm not what I used to be. I'm different. I'm not the same. Fundamentally, at my core, I am different. Am I perfect? Foot no. I might even still cuss. I might even still get drunk. But you know what happens when I do? It eats at me. Do you know why? Because God is saying, that's no longer you. You are mine. And let me tell you, sister, let me tell you, young man, if you don't change, I'm going to whoop you. Yeah, I know I said whoop. If I'm born again, the evidence I am is God wears me out. If there is no discipline in your life, it's because you don't belong to him. God said, I don't whip Satan's kids, but I whip mine. I'll take you to the woodshed. I will wear you out. If there is no discipline of God in your life, you don't belong to him. That's all I'm going to say this morning. I think that's enough. I know you say, well, I've got blanks that haven't been filled in. Learn to live with that. Yeah. Isn't God good? Yeah. Let's bow together. So here's the thing.